Yo, 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 what's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Happy hump day to everybody.
Yo.
Especially you, Perf. What's up? Welcome to the program. All right, so good show for you today. We're getting ready for the Sweet 16, so I've got a couple of coaches in the Sweet 16. I'm fired up. Have you got down? I know your bracket's already busted, but did you reset yourself? And did you start over? How do you see the Sweet 16? We can talk about any of the matchups. Everybody get down. I already have. Telephone number is toll-free. I've got two interviews, and they don't start until hour number two, so you want to take advantage. You want to get up in here right now. If I'm not mistaken, I gave away a golden ticket yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, it went to John in New York. Jim! Thank you for the golden ticket! Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Instead of crying about him having one, why don't you do what you can to get your own? Right? Worry about you. Worry about what you can control. Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. Checking out my monitor to the right of me. Playoff P being carried off the court. Not good for the Clippers. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. At least not at the very top. So telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. If you're more comfortable thumbing it out, do it on Twitter at Jim Rome. Or you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. It's a Wednesday, so we're going to push out an episode of the Jim Rome podcast. It's a really good episode. Ep 260 with Warriors GM Bob Myers. How do I know it's good? I've already done it. So look for that after the program. Wednesday, also an ATP day. How come every one of my lines aren't already lit? We had a good day yesterday with the phone calls. Take your shot once again. 1-800-636-8686. I cannot believe I'm going to do this. I cannot believe I'm going to start with this. I never expected to start with this. Especially with this time of year. In fact, I never expected to start with this any time of year. However, who knew? Who knew that so many of you were such huge World Baseball Classic honks? Honestly, I didn't even know that people even knew what that was, or that it was even taking place, or that it had already taken place. The last time there was a WBC was 6 years ago, and it barely moved the needle, possibly because even the needle was bored. Even the needle was put to sleep. But there is no denying it. I've got to give credit where credit's due. The tournament this time around generated some legitimate juice, legit excitement, legit energy. And there is no denying that the way this tournament ended was really one of the most epic baseball moments ever. That's not even hyperbole. It was that good. One of the best baseball moments ever. Full stop. You could not possibly have scripted a better ending than the best two players in the world facing off against each other in that final at bat. The two best players in the world who are teammates, I mean, they had to have scripted it, right? The NFL might not have a script, but the WBC must. How could it come down like that? How did it go down like that? Yet somehow, some way, USA Japan really did come down to Shohei v. Mike Trout. Two outs, bottom of the ninth, one run game, and I mean, if I'm looking for a word to describe what that was, I'm thinking, I'm a wordsmith. Scrumptious. Scrumptious as hell. The two best players in the world who we never ever get to see play in any kind of big spot on any kind of big stage ever. That's the tragedy of those two guys being where they are right now. However, finally, they got their moment. Finally, they got their big stage. And incredibly, it was against one another for a world championship, which is pretty freaking cool. Even if it wasn't the world championship. But the AB that we had anticipated, that we finally got, did not disappoint. Not in the least. This is how it went down on Fox Sports 1.
A one-run game with two gone in the ninth inning. The dream matchup. Ohtani, Trout. One ball, no strikes. The 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. A fastball at 100. A nod from Trout. Ball two, just outside.
Cut his fastball just off the plate at 100.
And Trout hardly budged. Stars aligning for the dream matchup for the ages here in the ninth. 2-1. 2-2. Ohtani's 2-2 pitch. The count goes full. Ohtani's ready. Trout's ready. 3-2. He struck him out! Ohtani strikes out Trout, and Japan's back on top of the baseball world.
I'm not sure I've seen a pitcher that fired up since Logan Rome slammed the door on Laguna Hills earlier this year. Just kidding. Just kidding, Rogues. I mean, that was such an epic moment last night. I mean, legitimately epic, which is so legitimately strange to be saying about that sport. Truth is, the sport itself cannot put on a better show than what we saw last night. Fact, 17 inches of horizontal break on that filthy final 89 MPH slide piece from Shohei. And that was after he pumped in four straight 100-mile-per-hour heaters. Trout, arguably the best player in the world, not named Shohei, had no chance. Because nobody would have a chance. Dude got blown away. Basically, the AB warranted a baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
See what I did there? Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
A reference that seems especially appropriate after Cardinals and Japan outfielder Lars Nootbaar said this about Ohtani on MLB Network after the game ended.
I feel like we're on a scene of Space Jam right there, and we got Michael Jordan, man, doing everything, going against the Monstars, man. And that lineup's so unbelievable, and he faced three of the best hitters in the big leagues, and just goes to show you how special he is.
I'll tell you what, dude, you're pretty special for invoking that as an analogy. What a great line. What a great quote. What a great Q&A. And he's right. The dude really is Jordan-esque. He's already a lot better than Babe Ruth. He's still the dude single-handedly making that sport relevant, saving the sport. And it's never been more obvious than over the past couple of weeks, because it wasn't just that final standoff and showdown with Trout. This dude dominated the entire tournament. Shohei was 2-0. He had an ERA of 1.86. He had that save with 11 Ks, and he tied for the hardest pitch thrown at 102. I mean, if that's all he did, he's a monster or a monstar. Except at the dish, he also hit 435 with a bomb, four doubles, and eight runs batted in. And the hardest hit ball of the entire tourney at 118.7 MPH. Shohei also gave a Michael's Secret Stuff level pregame pep talk in the clubhouse that went something like this, quote, "Let's stop admiring them. If you admire them, you can't surpass them. We came here to surpass them, to reach the top. For one day, let's throw away our admiration for them and just think about winning." End of quote. This bleeping dude. This dude. I mean, are you kidding? Naturally, of course, he was the MVP. And honestly, I'm not sure valuable even begins to describe that this guy or what his value is. Valuable. Valuable? To say this guy's valuable is almost a reason to go. To say this guy's valuable is the greatest understatement ever. Valuable? Alien is probably better. Shohei is the most alien player, or the most valuable alien. Or we could just say the best player in the world and probably the best player ever. I mean, that good. Period.
Period.
There was zero doubt coming into the tournament, and there's even less than zero doubt coming out of the tournament. The only question, and it really wasn't fair because it's not his fault, but if there was a question about Shohei, it was how is this guy going to show up when he finally does get on a big stage? Since he really hasn't been on one in his entire Major League career, unfortunately. Not only did this guy show up, not only did this guy show out, he loved it. He relished it. He thrived within it. He loves it. Clearly, he needs it, and he's built for it, and he's made for it. which is why last night was not a great night for the team up the road from me right now. And I'm not here to bag on the Angels. I'm a former season ticket holder. I like them. They're right up the road from me. But it's never great when the city of Anaheim starts to trend nationally on social media because of how badly they're doing with their two superstars. And that's exactly what happened last night. Emphasis on former ticket holder. Anyway, the dude who came out on top of that at bat should have been rewarded with the ability to leave the Angels right now. And it really hurts me to say that. But to see what that guy did on the big stage, how electric he was, and to think what he might do on that big stage consistently, imagine that guy in the so-called Fall Classic. Tell you what, as far as Anaheim goes, I think that we all know that he can leave after this season. I think we all know it's never been more likely than it is right now. He certainly is not throwing off a vibe like this is where he wants to be. And frankly, can you blame him? Maybe they trade him. But then again, what kind of a package could you put together for this guy? Arguably the greatest player ever. Like, I have no idea what kind of free agent contract he'll demand, but the dude is going to try to find a winner, and he's going to get paid. However, you know me. I'm always looking for the good in everything. I'm a glasses half full guy. So let me find something positive as it relates to the Angels. Now, the good news is they finally won something last night. An Angel finally got to hold a hunk of metal. Just not the hunk of metal. And if we're all being honest, this tournament was so much better than any kind of the all-star bullcrap they put on every single year. Because this event itself was everything that the all-star game isn't. Competitive, exciting, tremendous energy, juice, engaged fans. At this point, they may as well just scrap the ASG altogether. Because it does nothing for the game. It doesn't make it better. The WBC just proved that it is great for the game, which is an enormous and pretty shocking win for both the WBC and for baseball. Again, how many of you knew it even existed before this week? All I know is that baseball needs to embrace any and every win that it can get. I mean, think about it. Right now, the sport can almost do no wrong. This is the second gigantic boost that the sport has gotten. Number one, obviously, gambling. I mean, fact, gambling. Best thing to ever happen to baseball, gambling. Everybody knows this. Well, not everybody. Not the commissioner. Not Rob Manfred. Adam Silver had to tell Rob that the pace of baseball is, quote, absolutely perfect for sports betting. Then, on top of that, you've got the WBC breaking all kinds of records in viewers, attendance, merch, social media. Hell, this is an astounding number. This is an astounding number for an astounding human being. Shohei gained 2 million followers on Instagram since the WBC began.
A million.
Do you know how hard it is to do something like that without showing softcore porno? Do you know how hard it is to do something like that without showing hardcore porno? Alvin, tell him.
Dude, no.
Without showing any skin at all. Amazing.
Some skin, sir.
This alien is not going to be around forever. Baseball, don't screw it up. You know, and I'm not one of those guys who's going to go from zero to 100 or from this is totally irrelevant and not interesting to the best thing ever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was a hell of a ride this time around. I'm saying this is what this can look like and this can be. And what I'm saying is that was really good for baseball. Really good. That matchup between the two of them last night was incredible. I mean, epic. Epic. It's just too bad that when they finally did get to play on a big stage, it had nothing to do with Anaheim. So, did you check it out? Were you into it? What's your reaction? 1-800-636-8686. In addition to, and yes, I really did start the show with that. Never thought that I would. I want to double back and talk some more about Rick Pitino. He was getting a lot of run on the program. I was shocked by how much run he got on the program. I thought that was cool. I thought he earned it. He deserved it. And then he showed up, and I don't want to say he went Dion with it. I don't want to say he went prime with it. I would just say that if you're a current member of the Red Storm, you may not be much longer. He made it pretty clear. It takes a certain type of person to play with me, and I don't know how many of those types of people are on this roster right now. But I thought that he was really compelling yesterday, and I want to talk some more about that. Also, what about Lamar? We haven't talked about Lamar in a couple of days. Come to find out, according to a report from Mike Florio, that Lamar has somebody calling around the league on his behalf. However, I don't know who it is, but we know this. The person representing him in whatever regard it is not NFLPA certified. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's somebody legit. They're not certified, but they might be legit. Maybe in the sense of maybe he found a lawyer that he knows. Maybe he found an accountant that he knows. Maybe he found some master negotiator that he knows. Maybe it's one of his boys. Hell, maybe it's Jack Savage. I don't know. I just know that that person reportedly is not NFLPA certified. Lamar, my guy, I don't have an issue with you trying to do this yourself, except it didn't work. It hasn't worked. My man, swallow your pride. Swallow the 3%. It's going to be the best money you ever spent. Get this thing done, yo. So I want to talk about that. I should probably tell you who the interviews are. UConn head basketball coach Dan Hurley. UConn, to me, is scary as hell. That's a damn good team. And he's done an amazing job with them. So Dan Hurley, top of hour number two. Of course, they're going up against a monster in Arkansas. UConn v. Arkansas. Dan Hurley v. E-Mus. Coaching matchup is great, too. So we'll have him. Also, Princeton, you get your run. You get your respect. You're on to the Sweet 16. Mitch Henderson, their head coach, will join me at 10:40. ATP coming up in hour number three. If you want to react to me, go ahead and do it. In fact, even if you don't want to react to me, go ahead and do it. The biggest college basketball tournament is underway, and the action is still just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet $5, just $5, on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odd boosts all tournament long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, sign up with the code ROME, R-O-M-E. New customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in a state where it is lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? They call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions do apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. Great to be here. All right, so Canon SA writes, Rome, happy hump day. Sincerely, every Italian restaurant within 5 minutes of the St. John's campus. Probably should have laid this out better. Then again, it wouldn't have mattered. You've had years to get that off your chest. You've had years to thumb that out. It's neither here nor there. It happened. He owned it. It's over. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again right now. This guy earned the right to get this gig. He deserves it. He earned it. He started over. He paid the price. He was exonerated of some of it.
Yeah, it happens.
made bad choices, made bad decisions, was exiled to Greece, started over, started there, came back, went to Iona, did a great job there. This guy, he's right. He said it himself. I earned this. I deserve it. What he doesn't really deserve at this point, Ken, and others like Ken, are more reset, tired, washed, Italian restaurant, rigatoni as rubber comments. We've heard it a million times. Nobody cares anymore, except for the five of you in the JTP that continue to hammer that point home. Every joke has been made. Myself, I'm looking ahead. I'm fascinated by the guy. I'm fascinated by the hire. I'm fascinated by the energy. I'm fascinated by the way he showed up yesterday. The one thing that I am not fascinated by is rigatoni as a prophylactic. My man does not have a dish or a plate of rigatoni on his nightstand. And I'm telling you, I have never, never blocked any of you. But the first person who shows up in here with some idiotic crack about penne on his penis is going to get their ass run for life. Damn, Rome. I wanted to say that. I just saved you the trouble. You will be the first one in the history of the show blocked if you do that. Don't. I love the hire. He's one of the greatest coaches ever, and I love that hire, even at 70. Jimothy, did you say the needle was bored with prior WBC events? The needle is never bored with baseball. Respectfully, Jason Giambi, Manny Ramirez, Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Taylor in Lexington, wore the Keeneland spring meet.
Roger Clemens!
Canseco is something else. I can remember when he first started saying it, but he did tell me, when I was working on my TV show, The Last Word, I had him on. And he was there. David Wells was also in the building that day. And that's when Jose started to talk about the fact that he was the grandfather of roids, that he brought roids to Major League Baseball. That's when he first started saying that. Think about Jose for a minute. He might have been juiced out of his gills, but that dude had a 40-40 season. Imagine how absurd that is. 40-40. And I loved his line after. If I knew everybody was so into it, I would have done it every year. 40-40. Yeah, but roids don't work. But roids don't help. You remember that idiotic conversation we used to always have in this program? People would call up and say all the time, Rome, they don't work. You can't take a guy out of a Gold's Gym, roid him up, and put him in Major League Baseball. Right. I never said you could. That was never the argument. But whatever you do, don't tell me that roids don't work. Otherwise, guys would not have done them. And I'm not here to judge. And I'm not here to judge a generation prior. But don't tell me roids don't work. Of course they work, or guys wouldn't use them. I'll tell you what they do. Roids, back in the day, and probably now still, roids would make not very good players good players. Roids would make good players great players. Roids would make great players Hall of Famers. And roids would make Hall of Famers first ballot Hall of Famers. And they would break records that would never be broken ever again. Except we found out. But roids have no effect. My man, former major leaguer Scott Servais, made that clear to me one day on this show.
Here's the thing. Mark McGuire belongs in all things. So does Sammy Sosa. So does Mark McGuire. So does Barry Bonds. All these guys should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay? Now here's the thing. Back when steroids, they wasn't illegal and everybody, guys did it. Okay? You know, steroids might maybe hit the ball 50 feet further, but like I said, these guys...
Yeah, but 50 feet is the difference between the warning track and the 30th row.
Yeah, but if it's 410 feet and 470 feet, the ball's already gone.
Ah. Hey, Rome, roasted! Hey, Rome. How's that grab you? Point being, if they don't work, then why did so many guys use them? If they don't work, why did some of the best players in the history of the sport use them and are now being kept out of the Hall of Fame when they were already Hall of Famers before they started to use? You know why? Because they work. Dear Pimp, props to the World Baseball Classic for giving the sport a much-needed shot in the arm. The MLB used to be Hollywood, but has turned into Irvine. Boring, nondescript, predictable, and slow-paced. Of course, that's Drew in West L.A. Again, Drew, I'm going to ask you the question. Are you really in West L.A.? And or where are you in West L.A.? Are you adjacent to West L.A.? Or are you really, in fact, nowhere near West L.A.? These unsolicited, mostly unwarranted drive-bys on Irvine are not amusing to me. I grew up in West L.A. I spent most of my childhood in the Valley. And I've spent the better part of, I don't know, when did we get down here, Alvin? Mid-2000s? How West L.A. of you, Drew? Where's your boy Beauregard to weigh in on that? The pretentiousness of West L.A. I actually made two separate L.A. runs in the last 3 days. Had one yesterday for the Jason Barrett conference, which was a blast. Had a great time. Always appreciate that invite. And then on Saturday, of course, I had two events. So I miss L.A., but man, keep Irvine out your mouth. You don't come down here. You don't need to be here. What do you care about Irvine? Stop cracking on Irvine.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Keep Irvine out your mouth. Great place to raise kids. I'm not saying that it's the most exciting place ever. I'm not saying there's the best restaurants ever. I'm not saying it's the best club life ever. I'm not even sure there's a bar in Irvine. I know there are no liquor stores. But keep Irvine out your mouth. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Let's take a short timeout. Try and stay on the clock for once. We've got two head coaching guests coming up. Dan Hurley, hell of a coach. Great coach. Great coach, who I would argue is even getting better. UConn is a beast. There's a reason why people are hitting UConn so hard. People are getting down. People are throwing down a lot of money on UConn. Understandably, good team. Really good team. With a very good coach. Also, how do you not love the Princeton story? I love that Princeton is in the Sweet 16. Their head coach is a good dude, too. Mitch Henderson. He'll join me at 10:40. All right, so I've set the table for y'all. Do you want to sit down and eat? Then bring something to it. Just don't come into this party empty-handed. That's what I'm saying. Let's talk a little etiquette. I cooked you a fine dinner. I saved you a spot at the table. Just don't roll to this soiree empty-handed. Make it better. Hit me up. Time now for a sports update. Busy hump day.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I do not want to forget to remind you, Wednesday is an ATP day, always. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. You know I will answer one or more of them later on. In the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This guy brings up an issue that I get quite a bit of. Jim, Emus and Hurley in the same week. What happens when Jungle Juju goes up against Jungle Mojo? Regards, an unstoppable force versus an immovable or immovable object.
Some of that Jungle Juju.
Yeah, I never know what to say to that because, number one, I do not control the Juju. And number two, who would it go to? If both those guys come on the same week, who does it go to? And the answer I have for you is they both get some. But I don't control it. I don't direct it. I just believe in it. I just know it to be true.
Jungle Juju.
People who respect this show and have good experiences with the show have good things happen to them. People who swerve way the hell out of their lane to take a run at the show or me or the clones have bad things happen to them. It's the jungle karma. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. I just know it works, and I believe in it. So who gets it? Well, Hurley has not
jungle
been on yet. Mus has. But I can't control it. My sense is they both will get some. Let's go back to Rick Pitino for a minute. Like, I really can't seem to get my head around it. Like, I can intellectually, but the whole thing is so amazing. And I really can't get enough of it. That's a better way to put it. I can't get enough of it. And apparently a lot of you feel the same way because yesterday we had nonstop phone calls. We had emails. We had Twitter reaction. And it was way more than I ever expected. Honestly, I knew I would get all the Italian restaurant rigatoni as condom takes. But it was so good to talk about this from a basketball standpoint. We could have done 3 hours on Rick Pitino legitimately yesterday. And again, I'm talking about legit reaction, not just Italian restaurant quickie zingers, not just rigatoni condoms, not just that's amore parodies, not that crap. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about legit excitement, obviously in New York, but even around the country, like the guy's an icon. Now I want to make this clear one more time. I'm not saying that I'm ignoring or overlooking any of his past transgressions. I'm not saying this is the greatest humanitarian. I'm not nominating him for sainthood. I'm just saying I'm fascinated by this guy. And I know I'm not the only one. And before he hit the podium yesterday, he said what I said first on this show. He earns this shot. He earned it. He deserves it. He's made mistakes. He's owned the mistakes. He's paid for the mistakes. And essentially had to start over and rebuild himself, his image, and his career. And that's exactly what he did. He had to go to Greece to start that rebuild. The guy was exiled, essentially blackballed, run off to Greece. Now, there are worse places to be run off to, but he did it. He built his career back up from scratch. So that's what fascinates me. Not only did he rebuild it, I mean, just getting back to Iona was something. He made it back to the Big East. He made it back to a storied program that has, well, had really tough times, but storied. And he got that gig at 70. I'm fascinated that even at age 70, and even in the biggest media market in the world, this dude is still a no-doubt slam dunk of a hire at, once again, 70. So then how does he show up? I love the way this guy rolled into that intro at MSG yesterday. As if that weren't big enough. As if that weren't a big enough stage. As if the hype were not already through the roof. The 70-year-old dude showed up and actually exceeded all of the hype. And he hit that huge stage with huge energy. Like, I'll throw it back. Huge energy.
Huge.
I mean, check this dude out. Essentially guaranteeing. There's calling your shot, and then there's guaranteeing something. Essentially guaranteeing that the Red Storm basketball program is back and is about to go to the moon.
And today, for me, this is one of the most special moments of my life. I've been to the Garden as the Knick coach. I've been to the Garden as the Providence coach. And now I get to represent something really, really special. And it's not about when or if. It's going to happen for St. John's. It's going to happen in a big way.
I mean, how can you not love and respect the big brass set from the old head? It's not a question or if or when. He didn't use the word, but effectively saying it's not a question of if or when, but inevitability. It's going to happen in a big way. Not we will try our hardest and we will instill confidence and build a culture, just
inevitable.
Right to the point. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in a big way. How do you not love the brass set on the old head? You think the Madison Square Garden stage is too big for this dude? Bleep that. I'm not even sure New York City is big enough for this guy. How can you not love the energy coming from a 70-year-old like that? He's not messing around either. He made it very clear right away. Right off the very top, major changes are coming. Essentially, the scrubs that he's inheriting are not going to stick.
Well, the one thing I want to be honest with, that a lot of players probably won't be back on this team because they're probably not a good fit for me. With me, I think my players love playing for me. Even from Mark Jackson and Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley, I spoke with Oak last night. They love playing for me with the Knicks. But it takes a certain type of basketball player to want to play for me. He's got to be a total over-the-top in love with the game of basketball. And if you're not, it's just a bad fit with me. It doesn't work.
I mean, that literally is the entire Patino deal right there. He's right. You have to be the player version of him. And the version of him is over-the-top passion, over-the-top commitment, over-the-top capacity to work, over-the-top passion. And this guy hasn't lost any of that at 70. And unless you have that or you're capable of that, you can't hang with this guy. He doesn't want you. This is why I think this is a slam dunk hire. It's why the hype is through the freaking roof in New York City right now for a program that hasn't mattered in decades. Hell, even 98-year-old godfather of St. John's, Louis Carnesecca, showed up and he gave the youngster, the 70-year-old, his blessing.
Why do you have no doubts that he's going to succeed?
Well, you look at the background. You know, it's there. Wherever he's coached, he's done a marvelous job. And he's completely dedicated. Almost to fanaticism. He'll do the job.
Louis is 98. Is that incredible? Quote, look at the background. It's there. Wherever he's coached, he's done a marvelous job. And he's completely dedicated, almost to fanaticism. He'll do the job. I couldn't agree more. That's pretty much the perfect take about Patino. He's also had a pretty good take over the weekend when he initially endorsed the hire, saying, I don't think we can get a better coach, and I can't bring back Naismith. Louis sharp, still sharp, and he's all in on Patino. But while Patino might have Carnesecca's full blessing, he does hate Lou's gym, a.k.a. the Lou Carnesecca Arena out in Jamaica, Queens. Because here's another change, and it's happening already. Patino said he plans on playing the full slate of Big East games in Madison Square Garden next year, with even more games added for 2024-25. Essentially, he just showed up and he proclaimed, this is my house. He shows up to Madison Square Garden after all this time and reminds everybody, or lets everybody know, now you're in my house. This is my house. Louis Arena is nice and all. Good for you, Lou. You earned it. But this program deserves the biggest stage on earth, and I deserve the biggest stage on earth, and my players will deserve the biggest stage on earth. I mean, I'm not even paraphrasing it. This dude seriously said from the podium, quote, I deserve it, and quote, I earned it, regarding his return to college basketball. And he does. He does deserve it. He did earn it. I love that energy. I really do. And again, I'm not deifying the man, nor am I forgetting what he's done in the past. But what I'm saying to you is, no other 70-year-old could generate that kind of excitement in New York City. Name me any, in fact, it's a pretty good practice. Tommy, I'll even let you play along. Find me any 70-year-old, any person, regardless of gender, walk of life, or profession, that could inspire that kind of juice at that age in that town. I mean, I don't know. I'm asking it literally, not rhetorically. Find me somebody else who's 70 that could show up like that with that kind of juice and energy in that town? I'm thinking. Outside of, I don't know, Sir Paul McCartney. I don't know. But that's a 70-year-old dude blown in with that kind of bravado and puffed out chest. Can't get enough. Even you clones like it. So, I love the hire. I love the energy. Just for the last time, keep your rigatoni as condom blast to yourself. You've had several years to run that junk out here. The statue of limitations has run out. At least as far as I'm concerned, you can take that crap someplace else.
It's going to happen for St. John's. It's going to happen in a big way.
Hey, Rome, did Pitino mention yesterday in his news conference that he's a big fan of mine and that his favorite song is Scenes from an Italian Restaurant? Signed, Billy Joel. Hey, Aaron in Iowa. Go walk it off, dummy. That's the last one. People are obsessed with Billy Joel and his music. And then a few of you morons are obsessed with him jumping a curb in his car and driving into a home. I will say this for Billy Joel. That is an amazing song. And I'm not a big Billy Joel guy, but that is an amazing song. I'll give you that. There's hour number one. When we come back, Dan Hurley joins me, the head coach of UConn. Time to talk some Sweet 16. Dan Hurley next segment. Mitch Henderson at the bottom of hour number two. Don't you go anywhere.